Well, good morning, everyone. It's really nice to be with you. Just a few words about what I'm doing now. I work 3 days a week for Echoes of Service, and Echoes sends out missionaries to 35 different countries of the world. We've got 217 missionaries in different in those 35 different countries, and I'm responsible for pastoral care of missionaries, of risk and security, of putting on our Echoes Day, the next one of which is in Birmingham on the 5th of November. And if you're interested in what that's about, I've got some leaflets here, and I'll have those at the back afterwards. But that's an annual day that we put on to share about mission work around the world. And that one's called Lambs Among Wolves. So I'm at the same time, I'm the pastor of Glebe Chapel in Newent, where we've just started a program called A Year of Conversation, and we're just about to begin a Joshua project. And recently we've been looking for a new building, and we've ended up buying the local community center. But we're going to be moving the church into the community center, and we've got plans to get that developed. So that's what we're doing down in Newent. The same time, we're foster parents at home, and currently we've got a mother and baby foster parent with us, and it's been lovely to see how having people in our own home like that has given us opportunities of just sharing our lives with people in a lot of need. And that's what we're doing at the moment. So, what's happened? I've ended up, and let me say, it must have been my mistake, the way that I read the correspondence. I got the message or the passage from 2 weeks ago. But it's okay, I think, really, because the Great Commission that we've been reading about today, Matthew 28, go into all the world, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. When I read this passage from Acts 17, I wanted to talk about preaching the gospel. And so I will just remind yourself, therefore, of the passage that you had 2 weeks ago. And because I brought a PowerPoint and I've got my pictures, some things I'll go over quite quickly because I'm going to off the cuff have some emphases on certain things and make less of others. But let me just remind you of the passage that you had 2 weeks ago from Acts 17, verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with them, with him. And some of them said, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Babbler's not a very nice word to be called, actually. Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. And then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found there an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and doesn't live in temples made by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we shouldn't think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he set a day by which he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council, and a few men became followers of Paul and believed, and among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman called Damaris, and a number of others. Paul was preaching the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. When I used to work as a Birmingham City missionary, I used to go into the Bullring. When the Bullring was the old Bullring. Do you remember what the old Bullring was like, with the spiral staircase and without all the fancy sort of new buildings in front? It was quite a marketplace. All the people were there. And we used to go there preaching twice a week at least. It was a Tuesday afternoon and a Saturday. Okay? Plonking yourself in the middle of the marketplace, everybody with their shopping bags, going from the vegetables into the undercover market, and you've got to grab their attention somehow. Well, I found a good thing to do was to actually ask them questions. And I would ask questions about just stuff that was happening. So what might I talk about if I was in the Bullring this week? And if I wanted to preach the gospel, where might I start? Well, that's one place I might start. Coming? There we are. You know, Janet walked through the kitchen as I was putting this up on the, I'm thinking, she said, "You're not going to talk about him at church tomorrow, are you?" What's your reaction when you see that picture? And what would we ask? I mean, what if he was standing as Prime Minister of England? What I would ask people and wait for a response is, what sort of person would you like ruling over you as your president or prime minister? Would you like someone like that? Would you? No. Okay, right. There's plenty more we could say, I think, but that would be a good starting point. How about this person? Does anybody know who this is? Where should I be pointing this? Is that... Oh, dear. There we are. It is Ched Evans. Yeah, that would be an interesting starting point, an interesting conversation starter. Because he went to court, and he was found guilty, and he served his time in prison, and then he came back out, and there was a big debate as to whether he should be able to carry on as a footballer or not. But just on Friday, he was actually acquitted. His name's been cleared. But it raises this whole thing about judgment and how we judge other people. And what happened? What did Paul say in this passage? He said, actually, all of us are going to be judged by God one day. So we can fly a lot of judgment around, but we need to remember that one day we're all going to give an account for our lives before God. By Jesus. I'm finding... Oh, there we go. Now, What's that picture of? Thailand, yeah. And what's just happened in Thailand this week? The king has died. When we moved to Thailand in 2002, the king was old and frail then. And we were told, you need to be careful because if the king dies, there's going to be trouble. We waited. We lived in Thailand for 9 years and it never happened. Our oldest son, daughter-in-law, and 2 grandchildren are living in Thailand now. He's been king for 70 years. And you know, in Bangkok railway station, if you were there at 6 o'clock, everyone would stand up, stand to attention as they played the national anthem. Every time you go into a cinema, they play the national anthem and everybody stands. Do you remember when that used to happen here with the, yeah. In Thailand, the king is revered. He's almost semi-divine. Because of their understanding, their worldview, he's been reincarnated so many times that for him to have been born king, he must have lived such an amazing life that he's right up there. The problem is that his son, the crown prince, is nothing like the man that he was. And he was pictured in Munich airport getting into some limousine with jeans hanging down, some kind of sort of tank shirt, and tattoos all up his arm. And there's no love lost for the crown prince. But that's a big issue in that culture. What is going to happen? What do you do in that culture to share the gospel? Well, we lived there. And one of the things that we did was we cared for disabled children. Because behind where we lived, there was a place called Hope Home that looked after disabled children. And we actually ran a Riding for Disabled program for them. And then a part of that, we got we were given a young pony, and I got a cart made, and we used to take these kids around our sort of housing estate where we lived. But when people looking on saw you looking after the least of these people, in a culture where disabled people were regarded as not worth very much, that showed different values, and it was a good starting point for sharing the gospel of Jesus. I think it's important when we want to share the gospel with people that we listen. A good thing to do is to ask questions and listen. In the bullring, I would ask questions and expect people to respond to me and then enter into a conversation. But the more you listen to people, the more you build a right for them to listen to you. And you know, we often think that evangelism is about giving the right answers. It's far more about asking the right questions. You look at the parables of Jesus, and what he's doing more often than not is asking the right questions. So, Paul here was preaching in Athens. I've got a friend who has been to Athens recently, and he's going to be speaking at this Echoes Day in Birmingham on November the 5th. I worked with Hubert for 5 years in an agricultural development project in North Pakistan. It was Hubert and Rupert. We were like Tom and Jerry. He now takes groups of people from Germany to countries like Athens, where there are lots of immigrants coming. And he's been to Athens, where there are hundreds of Afghan people. Well, I've had good friends of mine wanting to reach Afghans by going to Afghanistan. And some very good friends of mine, after 3 bomb attacks, one a few doors away from where they lived, one at their office, and one at a hospital that their organization ran, they had to leave the country. It was so hard for them to share about Jesus where they were. What's happening now, today? When they went to Athens that time because the Macedonian border was shut, the place was full of Afghans in the parks and under the railway bridges. And they would go into coffee shops and there was open conversation about God and the Bible and the Quran. It was extraordinary. What would I do in that context? Well, back to listening, asking questions, listening to their answers and asking more questions. And then when I got to that place, just tell them a story. And some of the best stories you can tell them are stories that Jesus told. He told a great story about 2 people who went into the temple to pray. And one was all full of himself and said, "Thank you, God, for making me me." And the other one just beat his chest and said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." If you tell that story in the right way and just ask the question, if you retell that story for a Muslim person and make it the mosque instead of the temple, and make one of the people so good because he's done all his religious things all his life, but while he's saying the prayers, he's thinking about all sorts of other things in his head that he shouldn't be doing. And contrast that with somebody who has been irreligious, but who is genuinely sorry before God, and ask the question, which man's prayer is God going to accept? That's a profoundly challenging question. Really gets to the heart of why people do what they are doing. We live in an amazing time today where God is shaking the nations and there are people movements like never before in history. More people are moving, and this is an opportunity for the gospel, an opportunity to share with people from all over the world about Jesus, our Lord. So I'm going to skip over the bits that I'd written about hedonism and Stoic philosophers, and just come to this point that it says in the Bible that God has placed eternity in human hearts. And if you were to ask people, what's the percentage of people who've had a supernatural experience? Do you know what the percentage would come out as? 100%. How many people are spiritual? Well, we are all made spiritual people. And so there is something in each of us that causes us to reach out for him. And that's what God wants for us. In him we live and move and have our being. And there's a little inscription on the bottom of that foot that said, if you don't believe in miracles, perhaps you've forgotten that you are one. Paul went into the Areopagus. I'm wanting to go back a few slides to the one of the unknown God. There we are, unknown God. There. And he was wanting to tell people that, you know, do you really think that you know everything? Because God has shown himself. We're able to see God and experience God and know something of the greatness of God because of the world that he has made. In Glebe Chapel, we encourage people to take a word for today, which is a little book of Bible readings. And recently, at the beginning of this month, there was a few items on all that we can see about the greatness of God in creation. Because some people think that science and the Bible are contradicting each other, but there are many Nobel scientists who believe in God. Did you know that if the earth was 10% larger or 10% smaller, life as we know it wouldn't be possible? Or that we're just the right distance from the sun, so we receive the right amount of heat and light? If we were farther away, we'd freeze. If we were closer, we wouldn't be able to survive. The amazing tilt of the axis of the Earth. None of the other planets are tilted like ours at 23 degrees. This angle allows the sun rays to touch every part of the Earth's surface over the course of a year. And when you think of people, scientists, looking all around the planetary system for another planet where there's life, it's extraordinary when you read these things. Here's another amazing thing. Without the moon, it would be impossible for us to live on this planet, because the tides created by the moon, without them, we would just be living with a stench pool of rubbish. And without them creating the oxygen, we wouldn't be able to breathe. So God has made a wonderful creation, and when we look at the world, we can see something of God. So I'm going to move on now, but this isn't behaving itself very much for me. And we'll go right to the end, to the one of the resurrection. That Paul, wherever he started off, he wanted to get people to the point of being able to share about Jesus. Jesus who died and Jesus who was raised to life again. Because Jesus is alive today, we can know him personally. Because Jesus is alive today, we can know his help in our lives. So when we share the gospel and find our starting points, when we listen, when we ask the right questions, when we come to the point of sharing stories, what stories have we got to share? I'm sure there's a wealth of stories. I'm sure Ethel has got a wealth of stories from her 90 years and all those number of years of walking with Jesus. But you know, we live in a world that is thirsty to know about the reality of God. How God helps us practically in the good times and also the hard times of life. And it's because Jesus is alive that we can know God's help ourselves personally. And so we have that to share. And finally, to go to the picture of Jesus, the one who heals and heals all sorts of broken relationships. I was saying that we are foster parents, and I was saying about finding places to start, wanting to share with people about the Lord Jesus. One of the young mums we had a tattoo all along her arm. And it said this: only God can judge me. That's a very interesting conversation starter, actually. And this girl that we've got at the moment, she's got tattoos all down this arm. And one of them is, my present situation is not my final destination. That's a good conversation starter too. Have you ever thought of looking at people's tattoos and using that as a conversation starter for the gospel? It's 12:10, so we need to draw things to a close. Last time I was here, you wanted things from the message to talk about in your house groups. So as we think about the Great Commission, and we think about how Paul preached the gospel. Maybe one of the things that you can think about is, what are your starting points? How good are we at listening? Maybe we can share some of our own stories to build up our story bank so that we've got stories that we can share with people when we get the opportunity, because that communicates very effectively. Let's pray. Lord, you are the one who came and who died and who rose again, that we might know you, know your healing power at work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all the stories that we have as a community here of knowing you and your help in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing around the world today. We thank you for many people who are coming to know Jesus, and we pray that your work will continue and that you will include us and that we will want to partner with you in your mission of reaching out to people who need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe we can just sing one verse in the chorus of Tell Out My Soul, and then we'll conclude.